Blog Talk Radio.
You are fake news.
Oh, wow. Did you hear that music to my ears? President Trump, it's like every time he says it, when I hear it, it's like he's singing some type of symphony. That is like Beethoven to my ears. It's beautiful. You are fake news. Man, that is the coined statement of the century, man. I mean, he nailed it with that one. And it was almost hard to understand how fake the news really is. But we're going to do it. We're going to try tonight because we're going to be covering some of this fake news like always. I got to reveal this nonsense. So before we get into that, I want to say welcome to the show. Those that want to call in and speak with me live, you can. Just make sure you press the number one, and then you will be able to speak to me. And if you come online and we're talking, just don't, you know, drop a whole bunch of F-bombs and stuff like that. Try to keep it clean. Fight with your intellect, okay, your upper consciousness. And with that being said, no need to stand on ceremony here. Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Let's not stand on ceremony here, Mr. Wayne.
I love Bane. Oh, yeah, man. All right, ready? Let's go.
Real gorilla. Real gorilla. Real gorilla. Real gorilla. I rock the planet. Beating my chest like a silverback. Silverback. I hold it down. Hit my crown on him. I'm a silverback. Silverback. There's some kings in the building. Throw your fist up and show some respect. There's gorillas in here.
Now, y'all do know when I say gorillas in here, it's metaphoric. It is taking on the characteristics of a gorilla and the more positive attributes, okay, like bravery, protection of his home, those things like that, fearlessness. But unfortunately, we got an administration trying to appeal to the other side of the silverback gorilla, meaning the animalistic responses, you know, just your basic innate desires, you know, food, water, things like that, not the higher consciousness of man. Listen to this before we get into some of this. Y'all ready?
Austrian brothel is now bribing men with hookers to take the Fauci ouchie.
Can you believe
from 4 to 10 p.m. every Monday night, the Fun Palace Cat House is offering men a 30-minute sex session with the prostitute of their choice to take the jab.
Well,
now, I know.
Now, do you understand how desperate you got to be to offer some, you know what, some goodies just so somebody can go and get the mots? Are you kidding me, man? First of all, if you're the people working at the brothel, do the women, do they get some money for that? I don't understand. Hey, Janet. All right, I want you to do this pro bono. You want to contribute to, you know, helping the whole world be saved through this, you know what, right? Oh, no, you don't get no pay for this. No, no. This is a part of your darn description. Are you kidding? This is what they are up to now. Now, whenever you wonder how serious things are, all you got to do is just put it in a realistic, practical application. All you got to do is just start thinking about some of the worst scenarios in regards to a pandemic or an outbreak, and how would people respond? When in doubt, if you want to know, just think about movies like Outbreak, you know, movies like Z Nation, things like that, series like The Walking Dead. Now, if they came up with a cure for all of that, you think they'd have to bribe you with some goodies? No. You will run past all those prostitutes. I don't care if they're standing on a corner with bikinis and G-strings talking about, wait a minute. You will blow past them straight down the street to get your you-know-what. But yet, they have to tempt folks with this.
I know what you're thinking. Traditionally, whorehouses have not been considered the pinnacle of public health.
Yeah.
But these days, up is down and black is white.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if the whole culture is turned on its head, why not give it a shot? It may not be the most moral way to promote inoculations, but say what you want about pimps and prostitutes.
Yeah.
At least they're more honest than Dr. Fauci.
And that's sad to say. When I would honestly say, yeah, I would trust a pimp or a prostitute way more than Dr. Fauci, the Democrats, Biden, the CDC, all of those joints. I don't trust none of them. Okay. If you had to roll the dice on truth, I would probably say, I mean, you know what? I know this lady sells her body for a living. I know this guy's a pimp, but at least he probably is keeping it real. You know me, baby. I'm a pimp, okay? All right. Yeah, I'm like too short. I go on and on. I can't understand how I last that long. You know, I must have superpowers. I would be able to trust them more than creepy. Now listen, we've been patient, but our patience is running thin. Let's continue.
This Austrian hooker story is real.
It is?
This is a real, at first I thought, is it The Onion? Is it the Babylon Bee? No, it's a real story. Virtually every man I've told it to, by the way, I've said, oh, my God, did you see this story about the Austrian brothel that's offering you hookers for the jab?
What'd they say?
Their response has been, oh, my gosh, that's terrible. That's awful. Where is it? Where are you? You know, just, I just had a curiosity. Where can I find this sort of thing?
See, that's that old school, you know, joke where that guy said, you know, if you want to look at a girl while you with your girl, you know, and she walked past inappropriately dressed, and your girlfriend be like, ugh, look at her. After me, if she got all her junk hanging all out, your job is to go, yeah, that's horrible, man. I can't even believe she would come outside like that. Look at her. Only reason I'm looking at her is because I'm judging her. I'm judging her. That is horrible. The nerve or something. Let me get another look at that. You know what? As I look more, that's disgusting. I'm almost threw up looking at it. Let's go in and look closer, baby. Maybe we should get a closer look at herself. See, that's what they're trying to create. They're trying to create an appeal to the animalistic side of men and women. And notice, this is sexist, y'all. This right here is discrimination. Why are you offering the ladies? Where are the fellas? If I may, I say, no, there was no such thing as women and men. I can't even understand what is this. So you're going to force the ladies into free prostitution and not the men? Where are the feminists? All of that stuff.
This is not great. You'll cure COVID. You'll have an outbreak of some other problems.
Yeah, yeah.
You might need some penicillin at the very least. What this shows you is one.
What?
The vaccine is not particularly appealing to a lot of people.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have to offer some cookies if it was very appealing. Okay. When you stoop to that low where you're going, dude, these folks ain't lining up like we thought they would. You know what? Let's get real now. We all know the number one desire for men, the cookies. Send in the cookies. They sending in the cookies, man.
If the vaccine were appealing, then you wouldn't need to bribe people with hookers and cheeseburgers. Remember Bill de Blasio stuffing his face with the cheeseburgers? Om, nom. Eat the slop, pigs. Take the shot and we'll give you free slop. French fries. You remember that? And we'll bribe you with money in Ohio. If you let us inject you with this experimental drug, you could win $1 million. Okay,
yeah.
Well, if the vaccine were appealing, you wouldn't need to bribe people and appeal to their basest passions. And
yeah, see, because they done pulled out all of the stuff. When you got to go ahead and offer folks weed, you got to tempt them with lottery tickets, all of those things, hamburgers. First things first, how about you tempt me with knowledge? How about you tempt me with information about this? Why don't you tempt me with reasoning and justification of why you are forcing this on us that actually makes some sense? But instead, no, we don't respect your brain enough. They're simply transferring their approach from politics and appealing to their voters right on over to the folks to get the vaccination. They don't appeal to their voters' intellect. No. They don't take the time out to go into black and minority neighborhoods and tell them why their policies make sense. They just appeal to their basic humanistic nature. You don't like racism, right? No. Well, good. That's a start. Well, we don't like it either, and we're going to fight for you because all the rest of them are racist. We got your back, not us. Oh, so if you get one smart minority in that crowd to go, excuse me, I'm not quite worried about racism. I am worried about my taxes, gas prices, inflation, the border, all of those things. You shut your mouth. You shut your mouth, you bigot, even though you're black and you're amongst all the rest of these black folks, but you're not like the good black ones, the ones that just approach it with, okay, all right, let's believe you. But you just shut your mouth. You sell out. Where's Don Lamont? Hey, Don, I'm here. Johnny on the spot, Joy Reid, put my makeup on. I'm going in, y'all. That's who they send in to control them.
And appetites. But then that would require the virus to be very, very scary, which it just is not for the vast majority of people. It doesn't pose much of a threat at all. And so people do not feel the need. If this were a bubonic plague breakdown, you wouldn't need to bribe people.
Not at all.
To get the vaccine. And you certainly wouldn't need to appeal to the prurient interest and appeal to their basest passions. So it tells you a lot about the vaccine.
Okay.
And it tells you a lot about the pandemic that the ruling class thinks they need to bribe you in this way. Yes. But it also tells you a lot about what they think of you. Because we all have a higher will and we have a lower will, right? The higher will is, I want to wake up early and go to Starbucks and do some work and work out. And
wait a minute, y'all. Mike taking us to church. He's not just looking at the surface of this thing here. Mike right now is going deep, man. He's going to give you the natural application and going to give you the spiritual ramification. Bring it down, Miguel.
You know, get a head start on my week and fix up things around the house. And right, cook dinner tonight. And right, that's the higher will where you're doing things that are responsible, that you think are virtuous. Then you've got the lower will, which is I want to go do a bunch of drugs and eat a bunch of cheeseburgers and go to the whorehouse. And
that's your animalistic passion, see. And that's what the Democrats are appealing to, your animalistic instinct. Yeah, they don't want you thinking rationally. They want you thinking physically, emotionally, you know, impulsively, all of those things. See, the Democrats want us to operate like animals with no conscience. Okay, basic needs. I'm going to tell you right now, I used to breed English Mastiffs back in the day. And when that female goes in the heat, that dog disobeys every single order. My male dogs were like, I got one thing on my mind. I don't know what it is about her right now. I didn't pay that close attention to her 4 or 5 weeks ago. Not like this, but I think I love her. I think I love her. Dogs were true through fences. They would defy their master all to get those goodies, man. All to get the goodies. Dogs don't have that consciousness. They're not sitting back going, man, you know what? Can you build a tent for us? We don't want to just be doing a nasty out in the middle of the yard. People might see. No. You think they're aware of their surroundings? No. My dogs don't need to go outside to a porta potty and close their door when they take a poop. They do it in the open and looking at you like, what's the problem? Why are you looking at me like this? I'm taking a poop. You brought me out here to do this. They lack that consciousness, and that's what they're trying to appeal to us with, okay? And so we can let down our guard and our rationale. Go ahead, Miguel. Finish preaching this sermon. By the way, I saw a caller in the chamber. Hang on there. I'll be with you in a minute.
Right. That's the lower will. And you want to bring the lower will into discipline underneath the higher will so you can suppress those passions. And so they're not appealing to you with, if you get the jab, we'll give you a scholarship to take a course on ancient literature.
That's smart stuff.
If you get the jab, we will... we will help you in some way to improve your life and to flourish and to pursue virtue. We're going to give you something that is base, that is low, that is, in this case, sinful.
Because, see, what they know is human nature. Human nature would take pleasure any day over some type of activity or something that's going to stress and hurt your brain. See, especially in the West, they know that. Now, somebody said, I'm buffering and the audio is cutting out. Let me see if I can correct this up front. See, they be waiting on me for Wednesdays. All right, let's see what I can do. Let's see if I can work that out. That was down there on YouTube. YouTube, am I still buffering and stuff? Hopefully not. Anyway, now back to what I was saying. The Democrats and the psychological warfare that they are attempting to manipulate all of the people with is simply relying on folks being lazy and appealing to the things that make them feel good. Most folks would rather go to a football game or picnic rather than a library. Mm-hmm. Most folks would value recreational time other than sitting down just studying on your own. Most folks need incentive to really, some intrinsic motive, to really gravitate towards something that's going to stress that brain out. They were looking for excuses to take breaks. I don't know about y'all. Man. You think my freshman year of college, I look for every reason to stop working that I could. All right, man, I'm about to get busy. I'm about to study, man. All right, let me see. Let me get my papers out. All right, let's see. All right. In the 19th century, the Anglo-Saxons of what? Did you hear something? No, I ain't hear nothing. Let me go check. Hold on for a minute. Go downstairs, end up playing some Uno in the hall, then some Monopoly, come back up 4 in the morning. All right, I'm about to go ahead and cram it in. I got 2 hours for the test. I don't see anyone. And the 19th century. Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to go to sleep, wake up 10 minutes before class, and read the text on the way to the class. We look for reasons, but that's what they know. That's why they're saying, let's give them a reason. One that doesn't require any intellect. It just appeals to the animalistic side of
it. It's vicious that appeals just to your most basic,
they think we're
most common,
they think
low
we're like
desires, because they think that is the will that controls you. You're actually not in control of your appetites.
Yeah.
A free people doesn't get duped this way. Okay, it's not just the Austrian brothel gimmick. It's the money. It's the cheeseburgers.
Oh,
it's
Michael.
The
preach.
It's the punishment. It's that we're in our hurt.
I'm gonna sell my soul for a cheeseburger. I don't care how many cookies you offer. I don't care if you bring a whole busload of prostitutes in. Cause I take a busload of prostitutes over the prostitutes at CNN. I take them over the prostitutes at MSNBC and the prostitutes in the Democrat Party. At least they seem like they could be redeemed. But these folks, well, can I get an amen? These folks are determined. Their mission is evil.
And then you got to do this with the mic. You know. See, if you ain't never been to like a serious black church, that'll scare you. You might jump up and run out when they go, you be like, is he hurt? Why is he screaming like that? Yeah. But anyway, let's continue.
Hurt you. We're going to get you fired. We're going to take your money if you don't do it.
Yeah.
A free people
I don't take kind
is
of
not dealt with right. that way. But increasingly, we're not a free people because we've right. given ourselves over to our lusts and our
yeah.
passions and our ignorance
that's our
and our fears that's and our everything that the left has been ginning up since at least the 1960s. And it tells you not just what they think of
what?
You.
What else it tells
you? It tells you how they rule you.
Hmm?
It tells you how they govern you.
Hmm.
You know, this everyone talks about 1984, but this is a lot more like Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, which is about a dystopian future
okay.
where the people are enslaved, not through pain, but
no.
through pleasure.
Pleasure.
Through drugs and promiscuous sex and fleeting pleasures.
And that is exactly why they're offering this brothel experience. See, you got to understand, pleasure is given to us through those dopamine receptors.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, if you abuse those, if you have an addictive personality, they will get the best of you. I don't care if you think you got some Chinese monk discipline. You open up those dopamine receptors to the wrong thing, every human is vulnerable to that. If you don't believe me, there was a study with a monkey who I think they was giving the monkey cocaine or some drug, and they showed the monkey how to inject himself when he wanted to hit it at, I think it might have been, yeah, cocaine, maybe. It was either that or some type of opium or something. Do you know that monkey stopped eating, drinking? That monkey forsook the basic needs of survival. To sit there and just keep going, oh, yeah, that's good. Give me, oh, yeah, till he dies. Killed himself. Just overdose like, this is too much. I love it. I'm loving it. Same thing with these Democrats. They don't want you focused on real stuff, stuff that improve your life, stuff that makes you more smarter, independent, things like that. No. Just go ahead and live life cavalierly, recklessly, and in, of course, obedience to our will. Now, before we get into the first part of our story tonight, I'm about to bring in our caller who I think I know who it is. Let's see. Right. Y'all like that sermon? Ha! All right, caller, you're live on air with Kevin and Kevin's Corner. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, what's up, Kev? It's Ryan.
Ryan, what's happening, man? I knew I recognized that number. What's your
name? Man, everything's good in Virginia for me right now. We, you know, Republicans took control. We had a red wave, but I just do not understand. I really don't understand. I do not understand Democrats. I think they're all demon possessed. I don't understand
yep.
the Democrat voters, because I talked to a girl at work the other day. She initiated the conversation. She says, okay, Ryan, the Republicans won. when are they going? When are we going to start seeing some change, seeing the gas price go down, blah, 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 blah. I said, well, you're going to start seeing good policies on day one, because any real conservative knows how to implement good policies. Any real conservative knows how to keep their word, like Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. Anyway, so we continued the conversation. We somehow we got on. I said, so now, Takiya, how come you keep – you're a Democrat, right? She goes, yeah. I said, so why do you keep voting for the party that started slavery, that perpetuated slavery, that fought a war to keep slavery, that created the KKK, that created Jim Crow laws? And why would you keep voting for them when they haven't done anything for you? She said, well, I vote for the party that cares about the common people, that cares about us. And I said, so they care about you by doing what? Oh, well, they helped me. They pay for that. And I said, but wouldn't you rather pay for that yourself? Well, I never really thought of it that way. It would be good to pay for, to be independent, more independent. And I said, so in a way, you're still enslaved in a way. You and other people are still enslaved in a way, aren't you? And so it kind of opened her eyes a little bit, but I don't think it really hit home because she's still, you know, it's hard to break that after so many years, that mindset of I'm dependent on the government.
Yep.
And it's really bad when you know, and then you get like our prices going up at Walmart and you get customers coming up like today. They're looking at the hot bar, and it's gone up from $6 a pound for chicken wings. Now it's almost $10 a pound for chicken wings. And they looked at the bar, a guy looked at me, and he said, you're crazy. And I said, what do you mean, sir? He goes, ain't nobody buying no $10 a pound. You get 8 wings for $10. He said, what, I'm paying almost $1.20 for a wing?
Right.
And I just said, you know, there's nothing I can do about that. But, you know, I want to say to these people, elections have consequences.
Yep. Elections have consequences. Yep, dead on. Ryan, hey, I'm telling you, everything you just mentioned, I got it all in my whole lineup throughout the night, man. I mean, it's like you, every time you call in, you give me a nice intro to almost everything I'm going to be talking about, because I done mixed in a smidge of what's going on down there in Virginia, what's going on with the gas prices, all of that. So you be dead on, man.
I ain't going to hold you too long. And I'm going to let you get back to your show, but I just want to know, you know, you can maybe segue into this for me real quick, but why does your arch nemesis like Joy Reid and them get on CNN and they're allowed to say, how are they allowed to say racist things like about Winston Sears when she gets up on the stage and she gave her victory speech? And they're out there cheering for her. White people, black people, didn't matter who they're all out there cheering, win some. And she gets on there and say what they're really cheering for is white supremacy. And so my first thought is when I hear this, I'm like, okay, Joy, so you're telling me that the white people, the white supremacists, the KKK members, all elected a black woman. You don't think when they went back to their Grand Wizard and their KKK meeting, the Grand Wizard had sat there and said, now who elected the black woman?
Right.
I mean, really, I don't get it. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Hey, it doesn't make sense because you can't make sense out of that. Now, I'm turning off my Wi-Fi here because some of my people on YouTube said I'm pixelating now. See, I got to juggle back and forth between it. Now, Ryan was saying,
you are
make sense.
A little bit.
Huh? What'd you say?
Yeah. No, you are pixelating a little bit, but you're good now.
Oh, I'm good now? Good. Okay. So I'm going to jump right into that, man. I'm glad you brought that up, and it fits right into what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the night. Ryan, man, hold down the fort and make sure you keep me posted, man. You give me so much material to go right into what I'm about to talk about, which is everything you just talked about. So let's catch up, man.
All right, Kev. God bless, man. Love you, man.
All right. Thank you. Love you, too, man. God bless. So, guys, first of all, let me address this. He brought up something. There sounds like he was in a conversation with a young lady that has been feeding off of all of the temptation that the Democrats have been giving minorities for years to keep them voting for them. What ends up happening is you get used to mediocrity. Folks that get hooked on government assistance will take the least path of resistance. I feel like I'm preaching. I'm rhyming, y'all. Most folks will say, all right, I'm willing to settle for the bare minimum of things that will allow me to survive and not really go after things that will allow me to prosper. So if you making sure I got a place to stay, food, just a little bit of spending change to get my hair did, you know, maybe go out with the girls and stuff like that, just enough to pay for the kids and all this stuff, I'm good. But they never give you enough to really prosper. When you start being independent and making more than what the government is giving you, you start looking at them differently. You start also recognizing how much they're taking from you. You're saying, wait a minute, now that I'm making more, you're taking more, and now you're able to realize where they're taking it and giving it to. When I grew up, my mom was on all kinds of stuff. Welfare, she's getting Social Security, working jobs under the table. We got food stamps, and I'm talking about the real ones, too. The ones that looked like they was a checkbook. We ain't get no card. You had to get embarrassed every time you go in. I want some Cocoa Puffs with this. Ooh, he got food stamps, y'all. Yeah. So even though my mom showed us how to survive and did the best she could, we lived off the system. We were hooked on it. When I got older, start making some money, and I looked at one of my checks and said, wait a minute, where is this $400 going to? And yet I had cousins who were laying at a crib bigger than mine, government paying for their rent at that huge crib. Then I would go to visit, and she'd borrow money off of me, and I'd say, man, I'm paying for you twice. You already done beat me for some money for some food because you hungry. And now you beat me for some money out of my taxes so you could lay around under the fan in a teddy. 3 in the afternoon. God dog it. You start thinking differently. Do you think they want minorities and other people that are poor to come up off of that type of plantation? No, because then they wouldn't vote for these dudes. They would not vote for these dudes. So my man Ryan is dead on. Folks don't realize they're voting against their best interests because they've become complacent with just the basic necessities of life. That's it. I'd rather stay here comfortable than to leave the plantation and go out in the forest because it's scary. It's scary out there. God, which leads me into this because this is scary too.
Congratulations to all the players. Now,
listen to this voice. This dude right here is actually running our country, apparently.
Congratulations to all the players. Now, I know you've got final, you know, you got in the finals. We also got that's Dante. I'm honored to be with him tonight, today. You're the best, and it's a great honor to have you here. Now, I think I'm supposed to introduce somebody, but I'm not sure who I'm supposed to introduce now.
Don't even know. Do you understand how embarrassing that is? That man just said, we got the black guy. His name is what? Derek Dwayne. I'm sure it's one of those black names. Dwayne, Derek, Devin, Deontay, that's it. And, I'm sure I'm supposed to introduce somebody. I don't know who, though. Hey, Nancy, where are you at? Is he breaking down again? Oh, God. I can't wait until this nightmare ends. So that's who we're working with right now.
Oh. Now our leaders are a laughingstock all over the world. You just saw what happened to Joe Biden on his travails in Europe. That wasn't good.
What?
He went to see the Pope. He was a little late.
Why, boss? Why? Why was he late?
What the hell happened to him?
We all wonder.
Does anybody know what happened? Don't say it. I still haven't figured out, was that young, attractive female reporter, was she trying to cover up or was she being nice? Did she not understand what was happening?
Good question.
She works for NBC, so it's about 94% sure that she knew exactly what she was doing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Brandon's become a big star. Nobody ever heard of this guy. Now he's one of the biggest stars. Nobody ever heard of him. Brandon's a star.
Yeah, he's a star now. I love him.
But I still like the first phrase better somehow. More accurate.
Y'all hear that? He said, I like, let's go, Brandon. It's safe. It's safe. But he loves that first statement better because it's accurate. Man, I miss Trump, y'all. You know why I miss Trump? It's because Trump is the best. Nobody, and I mean nobody, knows it like Trump.
Nobody knows this stuff better than me.
Nobody knows more about taxes than I do and income than I do.
Nobody knows more about construction
nobody.
Than I do.
Nobody knows more about campaign finance
nobody.
Than I do.
Nobody knows consultants better than
nobody.
I know more about drones than anybody. Drones? Nobody knows much more about technology.
Technology?
This type of technology, certainly, than I do. Nobody knows more about technology than me.
Nobody.
I know more about technology than anybody. Nobody's in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump.
Nobody.
I know the H-1B. I know the H-2B. Nobody knows it better than me. I know more about ISIS than the general.
The general.
Nobody understands the press, but I think I understand them as well as anybody. I mean, I know these people much better than you do. I understand things. I comprehend very well, okay?
Probably.
Better than, I think, almost anybody. And by the way, who knew the other side of the picture better than me? I knew it. Nobody knows more about environmental impact statements than me. And I think I know more about the environment than most people. I know a lot about wind. I know a lot about
wind.
You know, I know windmills very much.
Windmills.
I've studied it better than anybody. I understand the power of Facebook. Maybe better than almost anybody. I know more about renewables than any human being on earth. Nobody knows more about polls than me. I know more about courts than any human being on earth. I understand healthcare now, especially very well. A lot of people don't understand it.
I know the angles. I know every angle.
I know more about steelworkers than anybody that's ever run for office.
I know more about golf than Obama knows.
More about
golf. You know, the case of Turkey and the Kurds, I could go into a whole story because I understand it, I think, better than most.
And
I know all about it. I've known about it for a long time. I know the subject better than anybody.
I know.
This
more.
Guy talks about, I know Scranton. I know that. Well, I know the place is better. Nobody knows more about banks than I do.
Nobody
knows more about trade than me. Well, obviously, he doesn't know about nuclear weapons. I know more about nuclear weapons than he'll ever know. You know Russians better than I do, Kevin. Okay?
I understand the tax laws better than almost anyone.
Who knows more about lawsuits than I do? I'm
nobody.
I know more about offense and defense than they will ever understand.
Hey.
Nobody even understands it but me.
Nobody.
It's called devaluation.
I understand money better than anybody.
I understand the system better than anybody. Nobody knows more about debt than I do.
Nobody knows the game better than me.
I know more about contributions than anybody.
Even the smart guys on Wall Street, and I know all of them, and they are smart.
And who knows more about the word apprentice than Donald Trump?
I understand politicians better than anybody.
Nobody knows politicians better than
nobody.
Me. Who knows the other side better than me? Who knows the other side better than me?
Nobody.
I think I know more about the other side than almost anybody. And I understand the other side. Perhaps I understand it better than anybody else.
I was the fair-haired boy. Nobody knows more about it than me. I know more than these politicians. These guys don't know anything.
I know a lot. I know more than I'm ever going to tell you.
The truth is I'm actually a modest person. Very modest.
True. How could you not love Trump? How could you not love Trump? I mean, that man right there is hilarious. Now, see, it would be one thing if he was that grandiose. You know, of course, we know he's exaggerating. These are nothing more than euphemisms and figures of speech that Trump uses all the time. You know, however, in spite of all of that and his confidence, if you ever really study what he does and observe his real character, he has the outward persona, but then when you look at some of the kind things that he's done that they hide from you, you'll see that really he is modest. He is very kind. The fact that he gave up his comfortable life to run for president to try to save our country from what we're going through right about now shows great deals of loyalty to the country, to the community, to the people, all of that. So I'm willing to deal with those, nobody loves it. Nobody does it better than Trump. Nobody. Yeah, and the great thing about that, too, is he backs it up. I mean, when it came down to all of his policies, all that stuff he's talking right there, he was showing us that nobody knows it better than Trump. So I appreciated that montage. I said, man, we got to revisit that. But now we got to get serious, y'all, because Trump tried to save us from this type of garbage that's going on right now.
Illinois teenager Kyle Rittenhouse is on trial right now in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You may have read about it. Lots of people are watching it. It's an event packed with all kinds of political and social implications, but it's also, as a pure legal matter, maybe the single most bizarre court proceeding ever caught on camera.
What?
The outline of the case itself is pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Kyle Rittenhouse went to the BLM riots in Kenosha last summer.
I remember that.
With a rifle. While he was there, he shot three people. He killed two of them. The The prosecution claims this was murder. Kyle Rittenhouse says it was self-defense.
Okay.
So it's pretty simple.
Sounds.
But here's the amazing thing. Every single witness the prosecution has called so far has wound up making Kyle Rittenhouse's case for him.
Now, that doesn't sound like a very smart prosecutor. You're supposed to call people who actually benefit your side. But apparently they're so dumb and struggling for real witnesses, they're resorting to hoping that these folks just will get on here and, I guess, lean towards their narrative, perhaps? Let's continue.
Could include even Gage Grosskreutz, who's the communist who Rittenhouse shot in the arm.
Yeah, let's hear what he
said. Grosskreutz was supposed to be the prosecution's star witness in this trial.
Here we go.
But once he got on the stand, he admitted that Kyle Rittenhouse only shot him after he pointed a loaded gun in the boy's face.
That's a photo of you, yes?
Yes.
Okay. That's Mr. Rittenhouse?
Correct.
Okay. Now, you'd agree your firearm is pointed at Mr. Rittenhouse, correct?
Yes.
Took him too long to answer. Dang on it. It took you too long to answer. I'm looking at the picture along with you. You don't recognize yourself? Do you think you governor blackface or something? Where you looking at only two possibilities. Either I'm in blackface or I'm in the Klan outfit. And you got, all right, hold on one second. Let me look at that closer. All right, okay. If I go with the Klan outfit, that's not a good look. I'm going to go ahead and take blackface. I think I'm the one in the blackface right there. Then later on talking about it wasn't even me. And you admitted to being in the blackface? Are you kidding me? So now here's this dude looking like he got a strain. Like, yeah, that's me. Let's hear what he says.
And once your firearm is pointed at Mr.
That's when he fires.
Yes. No.
No. Did y'all hear this dude? Maybe he forget he's under oath. Maybe he forget that we're all looking at that picture. Maybe he forget that we saw the video. Uh-huh. Maybe we forget that we saw him go like this and Cal lowered his weapon and then he went like this and Cal shot him in the arm. Let's continue.
Sir, look, I don't want to... Does this look like right now your arm is being shot?
That looks like my bicep being vaporized, yes.
Yeah,
okay. And it's being vaporized as you're pointing your gun directly at him.
And I heard the prosecution, yeah, and it's being vaporized. He used the term that he just used since he's trying to be sarcastic in a serious moment. So it's being vaporized because of your own stupidity, right? That's what I would have said, dummy.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, so.
An admission.
When you were standing 3 to 5 feet from him, with your arms up and at him, advanced on him.
Advanced on him.
Your gun, now your hands down, pointed at him.
Like this.
And he fired.
Correct. Case over.
So that's kind of it right there. That's pretty much the end of the trial because when someone runs up and points a loaded gun in your face, you are allowed to shoot that person. That is called self-defense. That's the rule. It has been the rule throughout human history in every society on Earth since people lived in caves. According to the prosecution's star witness, self-defense is exactly what happened here. So as a matter of law, in addition to custom and common sense, Gage Grosskreutz just proved that Kyle Rittenhouse acted to defend himself from harm. So at one point, a detective, a witness called by the prosecution, implicated the prosecution in a cover-up. The detective admitted the police did not search Gage Grosskreutz's phone after the shooting.
So wait a minute. You telling me that they didn't search Grossberger's phone after the shooting? I thought your prosecution wanted to get all the details they possibly could. But Grossberger, he got away with it. This dude didn't have to show his phone. I don't understand. Maybe they didn't see him in the hospital talking about his only regret is that he didn't unload on this you-know-what. Maybe they didn't see that. Okay, but let's continue hearing about Grosskreutz.
So they had a valid warrant to do that. Well, why didn't they?
Yeah, why didn't they?
Well, they didn't because the prosecution ordered the police not to look at the phone.
Say what?
And that had never happened before.
No.
And you can see why. It's baffling, really.
It is.
Why would a government lawyer want less evidence in a case? According to the detective on the stand, the prosecutor cited something called Marcy's Law.
Marcy's
Law.
Have you ever relied on Marcy's Law not to execute a search warrant since it's gone into effect?
We've had conversations in the aftermath, but I don't recall not searching one solely on that enormous political pressure to do that, so that's exactly what he did.
So he was under pressure not to go ahead and search Roseberger's phone, see, which makes me start to think that these Democrats, these liberals have such an agenda that they're willing to cover up evidence, admit evidence, omit evidence, rather, things like that. See, I have some questions, not even just for them, not even just for them. I wonder why Hunter Biden's laptop sat cooling inside of a cabinet when it was given in to the FBI for quite some time. Wonder why they just say, oh, you know what, we'll get to that later, just shove it in a closet. I wonder what motivated that. Let's continue.
It goes without saying this is not how American justice is supposed to work. But thankfully, like most webs of deception, it collapsed under scrutiny in a big way. Watch this unintentionally hilarious exchange with yet another prosecution witness. This is Richard McGinnis of the Daily Caller. McGinnis was reporting from Kenosha that night. He appeared live on the show, in fact. He was just inches away when Rittenhouse shot a convicted child molester called Joseph Rosenbaum. Now, why was a convicted child molester at a riot on behalf of BLM? That's a whole other story.
Good question, Tucker, because, see, I noticed something. Flies hang around poop. See, it seems like all these shady characters all support the Democrat Party. It seems like all these shady characters, this dumb, violent, crazy, a radical, all of that, they all seem to be Biden voters, Democrat voters. They all seem to be encouraged by the Democrat Party and the liberal media. They all seem to be given pass by the Democrat Party and the liberal media, regardless of how much stuff they tear up. Isn't it funny how this convicted child molester was down there hanging out with some people talking about he's there for human rights and fighting against racism? Now, isn't that crazy how Hillary and all the rest of them all seem to end up with friends that are in that? You got my man out there in California. They got locked up because of his shenanigans. We got the one dude, Jeff Epps, who went ahead and suicided himself. He suicided himself. Harvey Weinstein. They always seem to just pick the worst type of friends. Or do they all gravitate towards each other because they're of one like mind? Do they bring all these folks down there to do stuff that a rational person won't do because they're psychologically damaged? I'm sure there's some rational, lightweight, rational people in that audience. But this dude wasn't one of them. This dude was out of his mind because I saw the clip how this dude whole time taunting Cal, going rocking up to him thinking he crazy, dropping the N-word because apparently this white dude thought he was black. Man, shoot, man, these bleep bleeps, man, y'all saying bleep bleeps. So let's hear more about this child molester who got himself killed.
A lot of people liked that there that night, it turns out.
It was.
But the prosecutor hoped to portray the shooting of this child molester, Rosenbaum, as an act of senseless violence committed by a psychopath, Kyle Rittenhouse. Here's what Richard McGinnis said he saw.
I mean, you have no idea what Mr. Rosenbaum was ever thinking at any point in his life. You have never been inside his head. You never met him before. You don't know.
I've never exchanged words with him, if that's what your question is.
So your interpretation of what he was trying to do or what he was intending to do or anything along those lines is complete guesswork, isn't it?
Well, he said, "F*** you," and then he reached for this.
Yelling and screaming, and I would say, "Dude, back up, just chill. I don't know what your problem is." And he goes, "You know, the defendant was there, so yes."
"Well, I'm going to kill you," says the child molester.
Yeah. You hear that? "I'm going to kill you," says the child molester. Who is this prosecutor, man? This dude's horrible. This dude, oh, all right, now listen, I'm going to bring you up and ask you some questions now. And he asked him some questions and walked right into it. Yeah, I mean, I don't propose to know what the guy was thinking, but he told me what he was thinking. The prosecutor wasn't ready for that? Are you kidding me? You just think he's going to go, my assumption is that the guy was there just to protest peacefully, and that's the only reason I'm being brought in. Yeah, I was there. Never met the dude, never talked to him, don't know what he was thinking, but I do know he yelled out, "F you, and I'm going to kill you." And right there, everything falls apart. But you know what? Instead of tapping out, what do?
It went on like this, on and on and on. At one point, another prosecution witness testified that Anthony Huber, who was, you won't be surprised to learn at this point, a convicted domestic abuser, was bashing Kyle Rittenhouse.
The domestic abuser. See, they need those riffraff to do stuff like they were doing. You're not going to call
some smart, intelligent person that got something going on in their life and say, hey, listen, I need you to go down to some city and burn down stuff, flip over cars, attack people, chase folks around, spray paint all over the place. Let's go to the loony bin and draft about 100 or so of them, throw them on the bus, magically show up in these cities and give them a license to whip ill out. Let's go ahead, take them off the leash like Mad Max Road Warrior. When that dude was riding on the front of that truck talking about, you can run, but you can't hide. That dude. And they unleashed him to do stuff like this. And in this case, it backfired. All of these guys with records are getting killed. But then you got this poor, innocent white nationalist trying to save his own life.
House in the head with a skateboard when he was shot. So once again, we have the textbook definition of self-defense.
Yeah.
Not much of a prosecution. In fact, at no point did the prosecution make its own case. They make Kyle Rittenhouse's case.
What?
Open and shut. But you know, never know any of this from watching the coverage of
the
trial.
No way, Tucker.
NBC News, for example, just ran this thoroughly dishonest headline.
Okay.
Quote, shooting victim at Rittenhouse trial said he thought he was going to die.
Say, now, wait a minute. Remember Ryan just called in and he was asking me, how can the media get away with saying the things that they say? So now we just heard bits and pieces from the trial. We just heard all of their witnesses actually confirm that Kyle Rittenhouse was being attacked and fought back solely with self-defense. We heard it, right? Let me make sure. Was it clear? I mean, everything we just heard, are we all, is anybody out there misinterpreting what we just heard come out of this? Do we have a misinterpretation or understanding of what self-defense is? No, everybody, okay. So we're all in one accord right now. So now, how in the world did we come to this conclusion and Tucker come to this conclusion listening to the same trial as Mika and Joe? Listen to this guy.
Boy, from out of state, drives up to the state with an AR-15 around his neck, shoots and kills a couple of people, shooting wildly, running around, acting like rent-a-cop. And if
y'all hear that, Joe and Mika just solved it, y'all. How can this boy just grab this AR-15, drive across the border? First of all, the gun was already in that state. It was owned by his friend's parents or something. But they just straight up lied. And these are the things that I say, how in the world can they do this and get away with it? See, once this trial is over, if I was Kyle's lawyers, I would go back into all of this footage right here and do exactly what Nick Sandman did. That's what I would do. I would break their piggy bank. So now Mika and Joe just swore up and down. He's a white nationalist, just rode up on the scene, you know what, rooting and tooting like Yosemite Sam. Yep, came there for trouble. Came in there ready to kill a whole bunch of folks. Let's see how this all plays out and how the liberal media interprets what's going on versus rational people.
It's not good that a 17-year-old vigilante, arguably a domestic terrorist, picked up a rifle, drove to a different state to shoot people.
See, do you hear this, y'all? Do you hear this disgusting peanut that's on here talking about not good that a vigilante drove there just to shoot people, arguably a domestic terrorist? This type of demonization and assault on folks' characters should not be allowed in the media. This dude, he's not a trial lawyer. He ain't in the trial. He is on a network spewing this stuff out right here. And I'm telling you right now, I pray to God that Cal gets some type of vindication after this is all over by going and finding every one of these folks who said these type of things and suing for defamation of character. That man just straight up called him a potential domestic terrorist and said he was a vigilante. So let's go ahead and see how this dude became a vigilante. See, because there needs to be characteristics of Charles Bronson. See, Charles Bronson was a vigilante. I want to know what made Cal a vigilante.
Yeah, he drove to a different state to shoot people.
That's
what happened.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Open up your brain. Let's pour some more lies in it. Mm-hmm. Actually, in point of fact, Kyle Rittenhouse went to Kenosha to clean up the filth left by the rioting Biden.
Don't hear this. This vigilante went to clean up
the morning of the shooting, Kyle Rittenhouse was videotaped cleaning anarchist graffiti off the walls of a local high school. That seems like good citizenship, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally elected Democrats denounced him as a racist. Anna Presley described...
Y'all hear that? So this vigilante was there all morning. He was cleaning off graffiti by all these real anarchists, these real vigilantes.
okay, these real insurrectionists, these real domestic terrorists. Then he had a little fanny pack, his health kit, going around helping folks, going around putting out fires and stuff like that. That's vigilante work right there, right, guys? That's white nationalist work. Now, I just want to propose one thought to all those idiots that we just listened to, because they made it seem like his whole mission was to come down there and kill a whole bunch of folks, right? So then, after he shot the child molester, okay, then they start chasing him. First of all, the child molester was chasing him, and he got himself shot. Then he starts running, and when the dude caught up with him and tried to hit him with the skateboard, he shot him. Now, Kyle shot warning shots up in the sky so folks could run. You know, he didn't want to shoot nobody. A vigilante would have just picked him off. He would have just got up there and been like, oh, this is great. So then he shoots the one guy, and then the knucklehead we just listened to throws his hands up. Why didn't that vigilante just shoot him while his hands was up? I don't understand. Why would he just go, oh, let me lower the gun, I'm not threatened? And when the guy went and reached for the gun, that's when that dude gets shot. But then to even add a little more stupidity onto this, why even do all that if your mission is to kill folks? Why go through running around with the paintbrush and washing stuff off and spraying it? Why not just post up in a tree, go and put your black mask on and huh? Why go through the running around and getting chased? Uh-huh. Like you're living in the Purge movie or something. Why go through that if he's a vigilante? But that's what propaganda does. And I hope they get seriously sued.
Rittenhouse is a, quote, white supremacist domestic terrorist.
Now, who would call him
that? The MSNBC Morning Show.
Oh.
Ilhan Omar did the same. Joe Biden, on the basis of no evidence whatsoever, called the 17-year-old, quote, a white supremacist. Now, for the record, the men Rittenhouse shot were all white.
Y'all hear that? That just goes to show that they have their narratives and they're going to stick to them. They don't care what it is. They're like, you know what? This ain't going to make no sense, but we only got so much in our bag of tricks. Okay, white racist, systemic racist, vigilante, domestic terrorist. So you know what? This guy now has to become a white nationalist by killing some white people. Ah, I know we're going to look dumb, but we ain't got nothing else. We got to go ahead and try to make this work and hope that the dummies don't catch it.
Kind of a funny kind of white supremacy.
Yeah, that's a new white supremacy.
It turns out that like so much of the hyperventilating moral outrage we suffer through every single day, the tale of Kyle Rittenhouse is a myth.
It's
it was concocted by the industrial media lie machine purely for political effect. Having heard the evidence here, it is not even a close call. Kyle Rittenhouse acted in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted a guilty verdict in this trial, you would probably have to threaten the jury. And as it turns out, some people are planning to do just that.
I ain't even going to name the people that I know that's up in the Kenosha, in the Kenosha trial. But there's cameras in there. There's definitely cameras up in there, and there's definitely people taking pictures of the juries and everything like that.
We
know what's going on. So we need the same results, man. We need the same results. Justice for Dante Wright.
Now, this sounds like a vigilante to me. So now you got this black dude dumb enough to film himself pretty much throwing out threats to the jury. Yeah, man, I ain't going to mention no name, man. I'm saying, wait a minute. Riding around in the car. Yeah, man, I ain't going to even mention no name, man. But, yeah, I'm there like this, man. Hey, we know who in the jury, man. You know what I'm saying? We tell you, you know what I'm saying, bro? You know what I'm saying? We need some. We need the outcome we won't get, bro. So in the middle of driving, what I should see is the feds pull him over, drag him out that car and say, we got you on video telling everybody that look out for these jurors. And if we, you know, I'm just giving y'all the hint. We know who you are. See, why ain't they stopping him? Where are the frogmen? Why aren't they coming down out of helicopters? Why isn't the FBI using that facial recognition? Why aren't they pinging his location? Because he's right there on a cell phone. They could ping that and find him right now. Right now. Just move aside. I'll go find him. I'll go find him. But nothing happened to this dude?
No, the guy you just saw talking was a friend of George Floyd's. What are the odds of that?
Huh.
So videotape the jurors. If they're afraid, they'll do exactly what we want. That's what he's saying. It's not a small thing. Jury intimidation is a serious felony in this country.
It is, only though if it comes out of the right. See, because what the Democrats are operating is like the mob. Yeah, you know what? You're not going to go in and testify, are you?
Because if you do, you'll be sleeping with the fishes. Yeah, see, so that's how they're operating, see.
But as far as we know, the Department of Justice isn't doing anything in this case. They're all busy looking for Ashley Biden's diary.
Oh.
They've got priorities. So it looks like it's continuing. Today at the Rittenhouse trial, a judge told jurors that someone was taking their pictures at a bus stop outside the courthouse. That, of course, is a threat. We'll see if it works. Another amazing story.
So, guys, did y'all hear that? This is the update on the Rittenhouse case. So now he's the prosecutor didn't beat to death. We all know that. Cal was, you know, everything was in self-defense. And then you get the media, for some reason, don't want this young man to be found innocent. You know why? Because soon as this happened, they all jumped out there just like they did with Nick Sandman. They wanted to help the narrative that the Democrats have been pushing, that America is a systemically racist country, and that these peaceful protesters that happened to be down there burning down stuff didn't even live in the neighborhood. They didn't even stop to address how all of these peaceful protesters got there in record-breaking time. I mean, I'm amazed. Their organizational skills are off the chain. They got down there so quick and then somehow had just complete diplomatic immunity to tear the whole neighborhood up for several days, you know, unabated. Just tearing it up. Police just set a perimeter, sit back and watch the whole city burn. So to the point where the citizens had to come in to save their own businesses and these crazy nut jobs that they done brought in, because rational people don't do these things, got themselves killed, and yet the media calls the young man who defended his own life some type of vigilante, even perhaps a domestic terrorist, but definitely a white nationalist by the president himself. But yet, I don't expect anything more, because listen to this guy.
For you tonight. So right before the last election, the president's daughter, Ashley Biden, somehow was separated from her diary. She says it was stolen.
Stolen.
So on the pretext of that, a year later, FBI agents just raided the homes of several working journalists, including a current employee at Project Veritas. They broke down doors in pre-dawn raid. They were trying to seize material that might embarrass the Biden family. Their boss was upset, and so they did this for him. Pretty amazing, really.
It is.
So
you know, because, see, what that looks like to me, Tucker, is a police state. What that looks like to me is that Joe Biden is using the DOJ and the FBI as his own personal hit squad. That's what that sounds like to me. I wonder right now, hold on, y'all, maybe I should try it on my walkie-talkie. Breaker, breaker, one nine. Louis Armstrong, Roger Rabbit. Okay, over and out. Okay, wait. Christopher Ray, is this you? Yeah, I lost something. Oh, it's important. Yeah. Could you send the feds to bust down the door? I think my neighbor has... Hello? Breaker, are you there? That's what would happen to me. Exactly what would happen to me. So yet, Ashley Biden, I guess, her stuff got lost, and the feds show up.
Even from the head of Project Veritas, James O'Keefe. Here's his summary of what happened.
Oh, okay.
Ms. Biden's father's Department of Justice, specifically the United States Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, appears to be investigating the situation, claiming the diary was stolen. We don't know if it was, but it begs the question, in what world is the alleged theft of a diary investigated by the president's FBI and his Department of Justice? A diary.
So that's a really good question.
Thank you.
Okay, so the FBI, DOJ is saying that Ashley Biden's diary was stolen in a burglary. Now, we can't verify it either way. That does not appear to be true. Actually, it seems like Ashley Biden left the diary in a house when she moved out. But whatever. Let's say for the sake of argument that the diary was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI raids still don't make any sense.
Nope.
No one is claiming these journalists stole the diary.
Nope.
The material in question is already public. Some of it's pretty awful. It's been on the internet for a year. We decided not to cover it, by the way. It's awful. But most amazingly, and the point that O'Keefe makes is the one that stands. Since
what?
When does the FBI respond to domestic burglaries?
Since we brought in this raggedy dude and this corrupt dude and this corrupt party that runs our country at this point. Because, see, I got questions about that all over the place. Since when do you lock down the Capitol building, for months at your own personal request? Since when do you grab the National Guard to come out there and occupy for that amount of time,
Since when do you do that? Since when do you have the DOJ to send a memo threatening all of these parents that are simply coming out to speak out against all of this craziness at the schools? See, this right here is showing us that these folks are the real tyrants. These are the folks that's really abusing their power and using these departments like their own personal hit squad. There's a lot of since when do. It's going on right about now. Since when do they open up an investigation against an incoming president by the FBI with flimsy information? Since when do you go and get a FISA warrant signed without proving that the information has been, you know, solidified, verified, all of that? Since when do you do that? Since when do you have an election where folks are boarding up windows right in front of everybody? Since when do you get folks spending the night during elections, okay, swiping all in the middle of the night? Since when do you do that? Huh? Since when do you have folks coming across our border whenever they want, rocking, "Hey, Biden, we're on our way" shirts? Nobody stopped to check and see who financed all those nice, fancy T-shirts. If you that poor, how did you get them? Let's continue.
You call the DOJ the next time your car gets broken into?
Yeah,
oh, you're not the president's drug-addicted kid? Okay, got it. This is totally third world.
Yep.
And it's an attack on press freedom. Mm. Obviously, you're raiding a journalist's house because that journalist may have had something to do with embarrassing the president's kid?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the White House Correspondents Association on this?
Yeah.
We're all the press freedom people.
Uh-huh.
If you're looking for an aggressive attack on freedom of the press, there you have it. Maybe someone should say something.
But see, they don't like, you know, they when it comes down to freedom of the press and being attacked, they're okay with that. Just as long as it's not directed at them. See, they would love for them to attack Fox. They would love for them to go ahead after Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity. They would love for them to shut down Kev's channel, all the other right-wing channels. You know, we hear them advocating for that on CNN, MSNBC, and all these other networks. But then when Trump calls them the enemy of the people, the fake news is the enemy of the people. This is an attack on freedom of the press right here. I mean, he's a dictator. He wants to silence his opposition and all of that mess. Man, guys, we are headed to a dark place, and you know what's driving us there besides the Democrats? People like this idiot.
Our audience favorite. Justice correspondent at The Nation and my pal, Ellie Mistal. Ellie, so happy that you're here because I wanted to talk about these Supreme Court cases because I feel like the gun case is a big deal.
Now, guys, just to set the tone, we're now on MSNBC. I told my friend who called in a little bit ago that I was going to address all this mess. Now, she done brought in someone to tag team with her on a fake narrative and pushing you know what. Racism. Let's go get that bottle of racism. When in doubt, clears it right up. So now, here we go, y'all. She brought in a hot mix between Mr. Heat from that old cartoon, Mr. Heat, you know, the winter cartoon. Then he has a smidge of Fat Albert, but he also has a big old afro on top of his head, too. So I don't know what he's doing with that. That's the Mr. Heat version of it. And then he really does, he's a blend of Fat Albert and Professor Clump, all in one. So let's hear what these two race baiters have to say now.
I'm going to leapfrog over that for a second because in this Ahmaud Arbery case, where the jury is all white and you had these men declaring themselves, deputizing themselves, somebody to, you know, shoot this man. When I was watching this case, I thought about the Supreme Court Second Amendment case and expanding gun rights.
Okay.
And I think about the three men who are accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery having more access to guns. It does not seem like a good combination.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I think this actually links up with your prior.
Now, first things first, you don't need to be that big with that soft voice.
Yeah, I think
this big dude right here, you're too big to have that little teeny Mickey Mouse voice. At least little Brian Stelter is built low to the ground for traction or something. But this dude, he's just big. And here he is.
Yeah, I think that
you better put some more bass in that voice.
segment and the Biden press conference, because what the Democrats' theory of the case is, is that the white non-college educated voter cares about things like kitchen table issues, like infrastructure and pipes and how many gallons of milk you can put on the table. I contend that what they care about is using their guns on black people and getting away with it. That's what they want. That's what they actually are in it for.
How's this man able to be on TV? Did y'all hear what that man just said? And you wonder why they lost their election? How much of this do you think people want to hear? How much of this crap do you think people going to take? That man just swore up down that all of these people want to use their guns on black people. Just like they also said that the police, their whole mission is to shoot black men. Y'all hear that? Car 5, where you at? Oh, yeah, we're just about to go and kill some black folks. Oh, okay, good, good. You're doing what the captain told you to do. Yep, afterwards, we're going to get some donuts and coffee. You want anything? Yeah, Roger, that. Bring me some donuts and coffee. Happy hunting. All right, Roger, over and out. All right, Johnson, you ready? You got your guns loaded? No, look, keep driving. We have to go past the white neighborhoods, right into the black one. This is your first day, isn't it? Oh, you're going to love this. You're going to love it, Johnson. That's what's happening. That's what they want folks to think. And this idiot just gets up there and has the nerve to say, that's why these white folks are protecting the Second Amendment. They like killing black folks.
Cares about things like kitchen table issues, like infrastructure and pipes, and how many gallons of milk you can put on the table.
Yeah.
I contend that what they care about is using their guns on black people and getting away with it. That's what they want.
See, now, I use this expression very sparingly, y'all. It ain't even an expression. It's a statement. I want to fight this dude. Okay? There's very few people I'll listen to and say, man, I want to fight you. Not personal, but I want to fight him. Not against his will. Let me just put it out there. Let's go ahead and let me beat up on that bubblegum body in the ring for fun. Just help whip you into shape and also give me a way to unleash all of my anger and frustration on this race-baiting liar. That's what it would do. So look at me kind of twofold as a personal trainer to help get you in shape and also someone correct your nastiness by punching you in that stomach so much where it just goes ahead and pops like a balloon. That's what I want to do. Help you lose weight instantly.
That's what they actually are in it for.
That's what they're in it for.
Do you think suburban moms like you basically put Youngkin into office?
Yes,
absolutely.
And there's one key issue all four of these women say played a huge part in their choosing a Republican.
Wanting to kill what? Black people. Y'all didn't know that? Y'all, that's what I'm sure. This is what they're about to say, because we just heard the black guy say it's all about them trying to, you know, kill black folks and all of that stuff. So now these moms that voted against their candidate are being asked by CNN, well, why did you do it? And I'm expecting to hear them say, because we want to shoot and kill black people and all of that, right? Here we go.
Feeling heard about their child's education.
Oh.
They spend months fighting to get kids back into school.
Well, that's not what
and
I
now expect. They want more done to make up for learning. Law from the pandemic.
Yes, closures were really hard for a lot of kids, and one of my kids in particular really suffered when schools were closed. It affected my family dynamic. It affected my social circle. It affected every party that the kids couldn't go to school.
Well, wait, she didn't say the fact that I don't like black folks and I don't like black teachers and I don't like them teaching critical race theory because I'm a racist and a white nationalist and trying to keep my own status in America as a white woman. She didn't say that? Huh.
And so I had to figure out what can I do to make sure that that never happens again.
Caring about your kids and their education is racist. It's white nationalism, right? White people don't have that right. What do you think this is? Y'all got the right to try to protect your kids from this type of garbage? No. No, man. Subject them to all of this filth that they're trying to shove in your kids' brains.
And you feel like even right now, and not enough is being done to address their learning loss. And you see that as a crisis.
We think
that's an emergency. Our kids are in crisis. The learning loss is real.
The learning loss.
We're in a situation where our kids are really far behind, and they need a lot of help. They need a lot of additional
tutoring. They need a lot of additional time after school to help catch them up,
yeah.
And they're still not focusing.
Where's the white mask?
It's like a situation where you're in front of your house and the driveway is really dirty,
okay.
But the house is also on fire.
Oh.
And you're using the hose to hose off the driveway,
yeah,
instead of putting out the fire on them.
Now, see that rational approach towards that? Because, see, what she described is exactly how the Democrats operate. They don't go and address the big problem. No, no. They go ahead and address stuff that means nothing, nothing. So, like I said, just as they claim we're fighting against racism and white nationalism, and then when Jesse Smollett got caught lying about getting almost hung because he wanted to go get a sandwich, what did Kamala Harris and all of them do? Come out with the, this is why we need to get the anti-lynching bill going. You think that's going to help? Huh? You think if there really was racism going around and attempts for lynching, that bill is the route to go? That's not practical. Just like Kamala Chameleon jumped in a jet and flew down to South America to go meet with somebody to talk about the origin of where all of this illegal immigration's coming from. Okay, well, listen, don't come. But wouldn't drag her tail down there to where the real problem is. This lady right here is really talking about the approach that the Democrat Party has when it comes down to governing. They like those problems, guys, because if they put the fire out in the house, then all of a sudden, they ain't got no other reason to show up. See, that's what they need. They need to say, now, look, we could go ahead and stop the bleeding, but let's deal with that hangnail you got on your toe first. Okay, they're idiots. These parents recognize it, but they're trying to make us think that these parents are more concerned about racism and keeping a status in America and killing black folks and stuff.
How much did that factor into you, for you? It's the CRT debate.
Oh,
definitely
CRT.
The education, the learning loss was number one for me. Everything else was below that.
Mandates and CRT did not influence my decision at all. How about for you, Sandra?
Okay. No, mine was all about the school closures. How did Terry McAuliffe handle the education part of everything? Well, parents were very angry during school closures at the teachers' unions. And for me, the nail in the coffin was on his last day of campaigning. He brought the head of the teachers' union to his rally, and she spoke. And it was like someone just poked me right in the eye and said, you think you want to have a say in your education? Well, you're not going to.
Glenn.
Oh, snap. So you're telling me arrogant Democrat Party governors, mayors, and politicians are what cost them this election? They were that arrogant to walk around telling you to shut up, and you know what, it don't matter what you guys think, and calling folks racist, xenophobic, homophobic didn't work? You mean tell me by going ahead and throwing mud on those parents and saying I'm taking away your ability to choose for your kid didn't motivate them to run down and punch the clock for you? You got to be kidding me. But guess what, y'all? They tried to send out what? The crooked, stinking, dirty media. And it went all wrong. Let's listen to this, y'all.
Just went on CNN. He was talking to one of the CNN ladies. Her name is Brianna Kyler. But she's just one of the sort of interchangeable automatons on CNN. And he mentioned the importance of critical race theory to this race that we just saw in Virginia. And the CNN lady interrupts to say, beep, boop, beep, boop, critical race theory is not being taught in schools.
Parents know it's been, their kids are being indoctrinated with critical race theory in Virginia.
Okay.
And the Democrats wanted to deny it. And so
it's not
the
in the curriculum.
Show up because they don't like being lied to.
I mean, just to be clear, it's not in the curriculum.
Y'all hear that?
In Virginia.
Now, first things first. I don't like her answer. I don't like her body language. While he was talking, she was cocked to the side, looked like she's riding side saddle on a horse, bareback, mad because she ain't got no saddle. Yeah, whole time. Like, I'm going to let you finish because I already got a prescripted response, okay? So here she is with a prescripted response. Now, she ain't ready for what's about to happen to you.
Let me just read you a few things.
Just to,
in 2015, while Terry McAuliffe was governor,
he got notes. She thought it was just going to be a verbal debate, y'all. She didn't think it was going to be some concrete evidence. Right now, they in that earpiece like, okay, yep, we're going to go ahead and have to take the whole network down. When in doubt, yep, technical difficulties. And end it now before it gets out of control. But they didn't.
the Virginia Department of Education promoted incorporating a critical race theory lens in education. You can still find it on the Department of Education's website. Still there. In February 2019, a 2% memo for the Virginia Department of Education promoted critical race theory and the idea of white fragility.
It's not. That's all what they told me to say. It's not there. She's going crazy right now. Her only defense is it's not. She's stuck on that. It's not. Yeah, man. Let's hear her finish with that. It's not. It's a whole word all by itself. It's not.
Survey.
I do want to ask you, just to be clear about where you are, let's all agree, they were trying
to indoctrinate kids. Terry McAuliffe denied it. It's still on the website. This is happening. I hope Democrats continue.
Oh, man, I wish I could see her face. She looked like she's suffering from a stroke right now. That bottom lip is sliding off of her face. She's sitting there like, is there anyone in my ear that can help me? I'm stroking out here. So now, it's not. And he's reading it to her. Now, if she was a journalist, all she would have had to do is, right before her little segment, go on in line and read it and stuff like that and that's and that. And she'd have been able to respond. But no. She came out already ready. Like, all right, whatever you just go out and say, it's not happening. And our dumb audience will just believe because she said it. But this dude's reading it.
To say it's not happening because parents are dumb. They can see.
Now, y'all ready for the redirection? Here, right now, look what she's going to try to do. She's going to try to do what they did to Trump. When that reporter wrote that article, that New York Times article, saying Trump was making up lies about all those people celebrating on those rooftops when 9/11 took place. Yeah, they said he was lying. Then when it came out that he wasn't lying, their response was to say, okay, how can we change this up? What? Oh, Trump was at a rally and he was using a motion that he always uses when he's talking about someone that's confused? Huh, how can we redirect it? He's disabled. Trump's doing this. Trump just mocked a disabled reporter. That's the story we're going to run with, huh? See, that's our interpretation of him exposing our lies. So now, all of a sudden, look what she tries to do.
See it. Your parents are dumb, you said? Aren't dumb.
That's her only comeback.
And I hope Democrats continue to say it's not happening because parents are dumb. They can see it.
Your parents are dumb, you said? Aren't dumb.
No, they're not.
I
think parents are smart.
She got tapped out, y'all. He's reading it right here. What do I do? Oh, he said something that can be confused for something else? Okay, are you saying parents are dumb? Are you kidding me? Do you think that's what he was sitting there saying? That was her last ditch effort. She got exposed. These folks are corrupt. I'm telling you right now, I wish I had a gigantic broom to sweep them all into the trash. But wait a minute. Maybe we need to look a little further into how this dude got his butt.
This is Terry McAuliffe, okay, the former chair of the Democratic National Committee and the former governor of Virginia.
Okay.
In 2021, McAuliffe ran for a second term as governor.
And what happened?
McAuliffe's Republican opponent was Glenn Youngkin,
okay,
a former CEO of a private equity group and personally worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh.
And most notably, Youngkin had zero political experience.
Like Trump?
Now remember that Virginia is considered a blue state. In the 2020 election, Joe Biden beat Donald Trump by a 10-point margin.
10 points.
All things considered, it should have been a cakewalk for Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah.
And having already served as governor and being a Clinton-era powerhouse in the Democratic Party, it was McAuliffe's race to lose. So let's jump to September 17th, 2021.
What did happen?
The day of the first gubernatorial debate.
Okay.
Here's Glenn Youngkin talking about vaccines.
But let me just start with my position on vaccines. I have been a strong advocate for everyone to get the vaccine.
Oh, okay.
I do believe that individuals should be allowed to make that decision on their own. But that's why I launched a public service announcement.
Now listen to what I'm about to show y'all. This is why Democrats lose seats. I'm about to show y'all the art of dirty politics, okay? See, right now, all of them,
Come to the dumb side, and together we can rule in America with corruption and hypocrisy. So let's listen to these dummies. See, he's thinking all of this crap is going to work like we're not listening and watching what's being said. He becomes
encourage people to get the vaccine. I think what we need to do right now is make sure that everyone in Virginia understands that getting the vaccine is the most important thing we can do.
Now, how can this
so
be
Youngkin is pro-vaccine and anti-mandate.
Oh.
So it couldn't be any clearer, but here's Terry McAuliffe's response.
I have been very strong in this from day one, and Glenn and I differ on this issue.
What?
His anti-vax, what he has said, he's had rhetoric out there.
So when you say that you're a strong advocate for the vaccine and you encourage people to take it, that's anti-vaccine rhetoric.
So you just add on one extra bit of interpretation to that, man. Left out the whole thing, I give you a choice. No, no, that's not the style of the Democrats. Ain't going to be no choosing. You're going to do what we say and not what we do. That's the first step. Okay, so now he just went ahead and painted this dude as an anti-vaxxer.
He told college students, if you don't want to take the vaccine, just fill out an exemption. You know, I think that's life-threatening, and I think that's disqualifying as
governor. I'm Glenn Youngkin, candidate for governor.
Listen to this.
I'm a business guy who loves numbers, and the numbers show COVID vaccines save lives. That's why I chose to get the vaccine. It's your right to make your own choice, and I respect that. I do hope you'll choose to join me in getting the vaccine.
Did you see it? Did you see the anti-vaccine rhetoric? Wow, what a monster.
I'm showing leadership. I'm not doing PSA.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, let's
Thank
get
you.
Everybody
Thank
vaccinated.
You, Mr. McCullough.
I support the vaccine. I stand up for the vaccine.
Mr. Youngkin,
but
your
I respect
time is up.
Individuals'
we
ability
to
make
We want
to
go on to the next topic.
And see, that's the problem. I respect individuals to choose. These Democrats don't want that. And this is what's going to get his butt in trouble. That's why my man who called me earlier was celebrating down there in Virginia, celebrating. Because if this dude would have won, he would have taken away folks' choices when it comes to the vaccine, their kids in schools with the mask on for the rest of their lives, and he would have also implemented some other garbage that takes away the choices. I'm pretty sure he would have been an advocate for forcing these vaccinations. See, so let's continue them. And he would have taken away parents' choices when it comes down to school. This is where he all goes off the rails.
It's not requiring mandates, so
respond.
We just should all understand where we are.
Mandate.
It's all fluff words. PSAs. Who cares about a PSA?
Uh-oh.
Half the people don't even know who you are on TV.
Well, what? Did y'all hear the nerve it is, dude? See, that's what arrogance gets you. Overconfidence gets you. Who cares about being happy? People don't even know who you are. This is one of those Hillary Clinton moments where Hillary thought she had it in the bag. And it was dun dun da da. So now here he is talking about nobody even knows who you are. Okay.
What we've seen over the course of the last 20 months is our school systems refusing to engage with parents.
Okay.
In fact, in Fairfax County this past week,
okay,
we watched parents so upset because there was such sexually explicit material in the library.
Wow.
They had never seen. It was shocking.
Youngkin is referring to an event,
okay,
where parents were upset that there were what they felt were very inappropriate books
so what
found
racist?
In their child's school library.
So it wasn't just because they were trying to keep their status as white people? That's what you're telling me?
Okay. And in fact, you vetoed the bill that would have informed parents that they were there.
So Youngkin is in fact wrong here.
Okay.
In 2016 and 2017,
yes,
Governor McAuliffe vetoed two bills,
okay,
that would have allowed parents to opt their children out,
oh, to opt
requiring
out
to read books in the,
yeah,
classroom,
okay,
that contain sexual material.
Yeah,
one of the books at the center of this debate was Toni Morrison's Beloved. And all I'm going to say about it is that if you're a parent who is concerned about your child reading it, you're probably a good parent. These,
yeah,
bills, which received bipartisan support, by the way,
okay,
were vetoed in 2016 and 2017 by then-Governor McAuliffe.
Okay.
So Youngkin got the details of the vetoed bills wrong,
okay,
and McAuliffe rightly used the moment to attack.
Okay.
So first of all, this shows how clueless Glenn Youngkin is. He doesn't understand.
Now, y'all ready to stick somebody's foot right down their own throat? This dude right here? Look at this idiot. It's like the little girls when I used to be in daycare. I worked with some kids, the three-year-olds, and I took the girls, two of these little girls, with me to the refrigerator to get some long stock lettuce to feed the lizard that we had named Diddy Bite You.
And when I pulled that long stalk lettuce out, one of those little girls looked and said, trees. And the other little girl looked at her and said, oh, those aren't trees. They're watermelons. She thought, look at this idiot calling those things trees. She has no idea what trees are. They're watermelons with arrogance. So now this dude is about to have his watermelon moment. Here we go.
Understand what the laws were because he'd never been involved here in helping Virginia.
Attacking his political inexperience is not only fair, but it's a solid tactic. Good so far.
But it was not. The parents had to write the veto bill, veto books, Glenn, not to be knowledge about it.
Mm-hmm. And he blew it because McAuliffe also got the details of the bills wrong. The bills that he vetoed would have obligated teachers to make copies of required reading lists available to parents so that they could opt their children out of certain type of content.
All right, let's continue, though.
You vetoed it. So, yeah, I stopped the bill that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
And there it is.
Nothing is more important than my children's education. So when I heard about Glenn Youngman wanting to ban books by prominent black authors, it scared me.
And he couldn't resist that temptation. So out of all those books, he found one black author. And he drags out a commercial. And what did he bring with him? A little racism. Let's see if it helped clear it up.
Virginia Youngkin, he's campaigning on banning books.
As I explained, Youngkin isn't banning books.
He's not.
What he was referring to at the debate was the fact that there are books in some school libraries that contain explicit content. And what he was suggesting is that parents have the right to know about the existence of those books.
Nothing is more important than my children's education.
First of all, how is Toni Morrison's Beloved in any way vital to a child's education? It's a work of fiction.
What? Andrew, what are you talking about? Everybody knows Toni Morrison's Beloved is how you teach your kids about life. It's how you teach your kids about life. It covers mathematics, science, English, history, social studies, geology, geometry, and all of that stuff. You ain't know that? It's not just talking about dramatic sex and all this crazy stuff and voodoo and spookiness. No, no, Andrew, you're crazy, man. That's the book of life right there.
Second, there's nothing stopping this concerned parent from purchasing whatever book they see for their child or borrowing one from a local library.
I guess they forgot that. Because the only place kids can read about their beloved is at the school. That's it, man. That's the last copy they got. Right there in the schoolhouse. Interesting.
But more importantly, what the ad was saying is that parents should be allowed to have a say in their child's education. So
Andrew, they got hit with the double trap. They tried to race bait and it got flipped, reversal. You tried to jump on my back and I rolled you over and put you in a rear naked choke. So by you putting up that commercial talking about they trying to ban books and they trying to keep my kids from reading black authors and stuff, and I want to have a partner stay in that, you're validating the whole argument that these parents should be involved with their kids are being taught. But Democrats are dumb. They are dumb as boxes of rocks. They don't see it. They don't see the hypocrisy and the double trap.
Great job, Terry.
Banning books written by a preeminent African-American woman who is a Nobel Prize winner.
There you go.
Think about that.
I am thinking about it. That's the only book you're focused on, race baiting, man. That's the last bag of tricks you get, banning books that has a black woman. Didn't even look at the rest of the books. Why I oughta.
So even though parents were concerned about the book's content and not the author's skin color,
right.
McAuliffe is playing the race card in an attempt to paint Youngkin and his supporters as racist.
There you go.
And as you mentioned correctly, we don't teach critical race theory. It's never been taught in Virginia.
So technically, McAuliffe is correct by saying that critical race theory is not a subject being taught in Virginia school. Critical race theory 101.
Right.
However, parents were expressing concerns that subject matter is being delivered through the lens of critical race theory.
So y'all tried to be sneaky with it? That's what you're doing? That's what you're telling me? Okay, tell me, how so, Andrew?
Because, for example, the Loudoun County School District spent $34,000 on critical race theory coaching for administrators.
What?
And the Fairfax County School District spent $20,000
for what?
For a one-hour virtual presentation from Ibram X. Kendi,
no,
who is one of CRT's biggest advocates.
No, you didn't pay no 20 grand for 1 hour from Sebastian K. Martin, NDK, -3 Jamal Abdullah Shabash, dummy. That dude, the one that sits back with that receding hairline with those dreadlocks, talking about some one must be committed to anti-racism to be considered a non-racist. But if you are committed to anti-racism, that then, therefore, it, hence too, makes thou this other a racist. So you cannot escape the racism of racism, then you should just receive from the racist. Then you should also become clarified and purified through my teaching of racism, anti-racism. See? Now, that'd be $20,000. Thank you. And folks walk away more confused than when they walked in. And he got 20 grand for that garbage? I'm in the wrong business.
This is a made-up racist dog whistle that really Glenn Youngkin has used from day one. And it really sickens me.
So if it's made up and not being taught in schools, then it should be easy for McAuliffe to denounce it, right?
The double trap. Got him again, y'all, on that double trap. Oh, wait a minute. The double trap bus coming down the street, moving pretty fast, you gotta shuffle your feet. Get on that bus, that double trap bus. So here we go.
What's Glenn Youngkin's education plan? He wants to ban critical race theory. Well, let me explain it. It's never been taught in Virginia.
Oh.
So again, if it's made up, then all McAuliffe needed to do was say, it has never been, nor will it ever be taught in our schools, and then disavow it.
But wait, y'all. When in doubt, they about to break out the big guns because McAuliffe saw he was in trouble. Now, when you in trouble, who you going to call? Joe Biden.
But he didn't say that because he doesn't actually believe that. Late October polls showed McAuliffe and Youngkin in a statistical dead heat.
Creepy.
So what did Democrats do to stop the bleeding? They brought in Brandon.
I ran against Donald Trump. Jerry is running against an acolyte of Donald Trump. He doesn't want to talk about Trump anymore. Well, I do. Former President Trump, Donald 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 Trump, 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 Donald Trump.
However,
y'all hear that?
I would like to present this.
Joe came flying in on some parachute of racism and Trumpism and dropped Trump about 50 times. Donald Trump, 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 Trump. And this didn't work. People didn't respond to Creepy Sleepy. I thought he was a heavy hitter. The most beloved president of all time.
Closing statement by Terry McAuliffe.
Okay.
And I promise you, we've got to diversify our teacher base here in Virginia. 50% of the students in Virginia schools, K-12, 50% are students of color, and yet 80% of the teachers are white. We all know what we have to do in a school to make everybody feel comfortable in school.
That's what you got to do. You got to ruin your own career to do it, see? Because, see, nobody wants to be hearing about some dang on racism all the time. Nobody wants us to sacrifice good educators just so we can fill a quota. Only Democrats hire based off of that garbage, see? They don't care if these folks don't know nothing. So what? She's an Aborigine. So what? He's Mexican. He's, you know, Puerto Rican or whatever. Forget the qualifications. So he wonders why he got his butt beat. Well, that's why. That's why he got his butt beat. But wait a minute. Let's go ahead and check in about Creepy Sleepy and some other things that's going on. And I love going down yonder.
Listen from Virginia. It's pretty simple.
Okay.
The Democrats, the party of bullies, they lost the election for governor of Virginia because, you know, it's one thing for the left to push around adults, abuse them, yell at them. Force them to wear face masks even outside. Call them racist. That sort of stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, easy because a lot of people don't want trouble. They put up with that kind of thing. But when you touch their kids, whoa, now you're really asking for trouble.
Man,
and in Virginia,
The Democrats got it big time. They have lost Virginia, the state that Joe Biden won last year by 10 points.
Making me go down yonder.
And looking back, there were three things that came right out of the mouth.
Three things?
Of the Democrat candidate that absolutely killed his campaign stone dead.
Like what?
And I wonder how long it'll take the Democrats to figure this out.
Okay, Mike.
Three things. The first and worst was the moment when Republican Glenn Youngkin really knocked out front-runner Democrat Terry McAuliffe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was this moment,
what moment
in their debate, the exchange that just said it all, when Youngkin talked about parents being outraged by some of the books that woke teachers were pushing onto their kids. And McAuliffe, well, the sheer arrogance of his response. Listen to this.
Okay.
What we've seen over the course of the last 20 months is our school systems refusing to engage with parents.
Let's hear from
the fact, in Fairfax County this past week, we watched parents so upset because there was such sexually explicit material in the library they had never seen. It was shocking. And in fact, you vetoed the bill that would have informed parents that they were there.
Yeah, we heard that.
You believe school systems should tell children what to do. I believe parents should be in charge of the kids' education.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
Parents shouldn't have a say in how their own kids are taught.
And how did that work out for him? Dun, 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 dun. He's sitting that bitch. Now, we all know what took place, and we're all happy. We all celebrate. Wait a minute. Hold on, y'all. Let's do a quick party. Party break. Let me see. Well, my friends, the time has come. Go away and have some fun. Life is good and wild. How about this one? Celebrate good time. Come on. Y'all like that one, too? Go ahead. I'm taking suggestions. Okay. Let's go ahead and continue while I'm getting these request.
Conducted by USA Today and Suffolk University has shown President Biden's approval rating continues to drop. Over 1,000 registered voters were called between November 3 to 5, and it found the Biden administration wasn't doing too well with voters. On whether voters approve or disapprove of the job Joe Biden has done as president, just 37.8% approve and 59% disapprove. VP Kamala Harris's approval is also dire, just 27.8% approve and 51.2% disapprove, while 21% are undecided. The poll found that 46% think the president has done a worse job than expected, which included 16% of those who had voted for him. Interestingly, two-thirds of Americans, 64%, do not want the president to run for a second term in 2024. If an election took place on the day those were surveyed, voters said that they would vote for the Republican candidate over the Democratic one.
Wow. So that means that his own folks turning against him? I'm looking at your request. Somebody hit me with the purple rain. You know that ain't a party song, but we do love it. Only want one time to see you laughing. I only want to hear you laughing in the purple rain. Purple rain, purple rain. Get out your lighters. Everyone get out your lighters. Let's continue.
Mm-hmm. Joe Biden has shown no capacity, no interest in doing that, despite his poll numbers. Did you see? I mean, that is 21 points underwater. He has dropped more in his first year than any other president since World War II in terms of polling. So this is a big problem. And Kamala Harris, at 28% approval, she's supposed to be the torchbearer. If an 80-something-year-old Joe Biden doesn't want to run in 2024 with those numbers, somebody warned up Gavin Newsom, on the bench, or I don't know, Marianne Williamson, is she available?
Did y'all hear that? This woman right now is polling at 28%, bringing up the rear. I don't know if there's ever been a worse candidate or vice president than her.
Pete Buttigieg, I mean, look at that. I mean, that is, I'm doing the math here, 2 plus 20 plus 1, 23 points underwater. All you got to do is roll out of bed and take the stair lift and you're there. But it's like he doesn't know what's going on, whether it is the $450,000 payout or it's supply chain. It's like he's kept in the dark like rare organic mushroom. And then he's kind of like wheeled out like a doddering old consultant for a few hours. And then he floats around, checks his watch until it's his nap. But that's factored into the presidency. They know what they're getting, and they're allowing other people to run the show.
That could be
it's just that we don't know who it is. You know, it's not like
We have an absentee father, but our absentee father is replaced by the Manson family, Dana. But it is true. Biden, it's naturally to see a decline in polls because every president has a honeymoon.
Yeah.
And there's only so much you can say about the person's dog.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But Trump never had a honeymoon.
Nope. Or a dog.
No, that's true. And I love that. He had the opposite of a honeymoon, which is what you call marriage.
Yeah. So, it's easy to not like Joe. But what's crazy is as much as the media try to help this dude from day one, you know you got to be real sorry. To have all of the media trying to inflate your worth, your productivity, your popularity, and you still tank. Got to be horrible. But, that's just a few people's opinions on why Joe is tanking. Frankly, I like it. I like it. So let's continue hearing a little bit more because maybe we're just being very biased. So let's hear some more. Here's my girl. I love her.
Kim, what's on your radar?
Talk to me, Kim.
Well, actually, this kind of goes along with what you were talking about on your radar a little earlier, Ryan, but Joe Biden's approval ratings have hit an all-time low.
Okay.
I feel like we keep saying this week after week, but each week it keeps getting worse and worse. This past Sunday, a USA Today Suffolk poll put Biden's approval numbers at 38%.
Oh.
Yikes. The same poll put Trump 3 points higher at the end of his term in mid-January after the storming of the Capitol. Other polls don't have him doing quite as badly. Emerson College gives them 41%, and Rasmussen gives them 42%. But no matter how you look at it, it's dismal. Nearly half of those surveyed said he has done a worse job than they expected, and nearly two-thirds, 64%, say they don't want Biden to run for a second term.
Yep. Now, that is true. I knew it was going to get bad, but I didn't know this dude was going to be that bad that quickly. They didn't waste no time jumping in there and ruining the whole country. They're like, yo, we know Joe stinks. So does Kamala. We only got a short window to destroy the whole country. Let's get busy, y'all. And I'm so glad those polls are falling. I hope it ain't too late. Right now, though, while they're falling, we might as well celebrate. Come on and dance. Shout. Shake your body down to the ground. Let's dance. Let's shout. Shake your body down to the ground. I want to see some of y'all. Okay, let's continue.
Including 28% of Democrats. Wow. Compare that to where Trump is. 58% of Americans, including 24% of Republicans, don't want him to run. So it's less popular for Biden to run again in 2024 than it is for Trump to run again. This is not good news for Democrats, and it's putting them in a very precarious position, considering Kamala Harris's ratings are even worse than Joe Biden. Her approval rate.
So the backup quarterback stinks? That's what you're telling me. Their backup QB is like, all right, hey, you know, I never played quarterback, right? I'm the snapper. I'm the long snapper. But I've watched some videos before. I'm going to go in and let's see what happens, coach. Here we go.
Rating is sitting 10 points lower at 28%. The Independent reports that's lower than Dick Cheney's lowest rating of 30%. I mean, I get that Kamala Harris isn't that likable, but a lower approval rating than Dick Cheney, even after years of casualties in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, the withdrawal in Afghanistan was a debacle. Many of us wanted to see the end of that war and thought Biden pushed the date back from Trump's May deadline to August in order to have a more orderly evacuation. That didn't happen, but I don't know if anyone really thinks that was Kamala Harris's fault.
No.
I mean, sure, she was the last person in the room with Joe Biden, but it's doubtful people think she was the one calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very bizarre that her ratings are even lower than Dick Cheney.
No, it's not. It's not bizarre because everybody knows she's a super freak, she's super freak, yeah. That woman is full-blown see-through. That's why folks do not connect with her. We all know how she got there, y'all. We all know how she got there. But wait a minute.
Whether if I can, the United States news outlets are calling the general election of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as a disaster. The president and the vice president, they're in a world of political pain. The USA Today poll, Biden's approval has come to just 38%. She's 28%. I don't think of numbers this bad so early in the first term that they're not the dynamic duo, are they?
No, I'll just tell you one thing, though. In retrospect, the Biden camp were very clever in selecting Kamala Harris as his beat. because if there was anyone even remotely half competent, they would be a threat to Joe Biden right now, because he is struggling. He is just every week showing us that he's not up to the job. The cognitive decline is undeniable. It's there every time you hear him speak, every time you hear him questioned. He is not up to the task. And these poll numbers, despite the fact that the overwhelming majority of the media have given them cover, they really haven't held them accountable for the multiple crises occurring in the US, from the losing control of the southern border to the inflation crisis. The fact that they've got more COVID deaths in 2021 than they had in 2020, despite the fact that the Biden administration inherited three good vaccines. It's a disaster, and the polls reflect it.
That's why I love that lady from Austria. There comes a time in every man's life when he gets tired of fooling around, juggling hearts in a three-ring circus. Some days drive your body down to the ground. I never imagined that love would rain on me and make me want to settle down. Baby, it's true, and I think I do, and I just want to tell you that I want to with you, even though you live down in Australia where the kangaroos are running around, and there's a lot of snakes and stuff that can eat me, and you got jellyfish that kill a brother, and you got great white sharks down here, and the folks get put on lockdown because it's the wrong time. I still love you, though. It's worth it. It's worth going down there. Let's continue.
Steven, just quickly.
Now, guys, wait a minute. I'm running out of time, so I got to get to some other stuff.
But I loved your column today. You focused on what is not looking like a very fun time at the moment for U.S. President Joe Biden.
No.
We explained to everyone last week where Let's Go Brandon came from. Let's have another look at that.
Oh, my God. This is such an unbelievable moment.
Brandon, you also told me you can hear the chants from the,
wait
the crowd.
Wait, back to the middle. Okay.
Let's go, Brandon. I'm still trying to work out whether she misheard that or was brilliant, but that combines a couple of your great joys in life, Tim. That is car racing and bashing the liberal left.
I like doing that too.
Just how well
like
is this Let's Go, Brandon thing going?
Well, that's the thing about it. When it became Let's Go, Brandon, instead of earlier, you know, X-rated version, people were able to say that a church.
That's
totally offensive. Except to some, it is offensive. Let's go, Brandon. You know, in and of itself, utterly inoffensive. But now there's this whole cancel movement.
Yeah.
People are calling it a disgraceful slur on the presidency and all this sort of stuff. These are people who, for 4 years under Trump, said whatever they wanted to do.
Oh, anyway, they did do that.
Just to go back to Shari addressing Congress. Okay. You wait until you see the backlash against her from the U.S. Media mainstream.
Uh-huh.
They are a hopeless yet vindictive bunch of people who believe it's their job
to do what?
To protect the Democratic Party.
And they're not doing a good job, because you know that party sucks when the media can't even help them, y'all. They're that horrific that the media is like, oh, no one's responding to our lives anymore. What they're responding to is real life consequences. They're responding to these gas prices and stuff like that. Yeah, we're about to find out why folks are not responding to the news trying to cover up for these raggedy Democrats anymore.
As a friend of mine, Dave Burge, always says, media in America covers all the big stories with a pillow until they stop moving.
Oh,
watching this White House bleed out like a stuck pig.
My man gonna
call a new USA Today poll has Biden's approval rating at 38%. You probably saw it today.
Yeah,
matching recent numbers from Quinnipiac. Very low. 64% of Americans do not want President Biden to run for president again.
Rob Smith.
Two out of three. Don't even want him to run.
I got to get smart.
Shockingly bad for a Democrat president covered by a mostly liberal media, I would say. Oh. And at this point, it almost feels like this is intentional, doesn't it?
What?
And there's an even bigger element to this story,
yes,
and that's Kamala's approval.
And this does seem intentional, because nobody is that sorry. You're telling me you put this dude on the football field and he got rickets? He got a little Arthur in his knees? A little bursitis in all elbow? This dude got cracked ribs, a collapsed lung, scoliosis, all bent up, got one arm shorter than the other, and you're like, he's going to be a productive person to our squad. Let's pay him $7 million a year. That don't work. Did you bring him on here to do the water or something? No, no, he's going to play. So it doesn't make any sense that they would have Joe out there who stinks, and yet they let him go on stinking it up. Got to be on purpose.
Oh, that Biden's not going to go two rounds in this thing. Only one out of four people in this country approve of Kamala Harris.
One out of four.
Isn't that amazing? The worst vice president in decades. And she doesn't even really have a real job. The VP is just the public relations job, glad handing the people that the president doesn't have time to meet, hang out just in case the president taps out. How on earth do you screw up a job like that so badly? 27.8% approval for Kamala Harris. I mean, that is abysmal.
Now, great. Wait, you know what? I don't even know why people shop. This woman couldn't win her own state. She didn't even pull like 1% of her own state. So what makes you think that the rest of the country is going to love her all of a sudden? She's horrible. Even to black folks. They were like, man, I ain't dealing with her. She's see-through. Getting on it, yeah, yeah, I'll smoke a little weed. Woo, man, man. Yeah, am I being black enough? Am I being black enough? Okay, you want me to get blacker? All right, how about this? Yeah, man, I'll be chilling, man. I'm listening to that Snoop Dogg and what's that other dude? I can't even remember his name. Toothpicks. I was listening to all of them, Toothpicks and Snoop Rabbit. And it was great, man. It was great. That woman, and you wonder why nobody likes her, including her own dad. He was sitting there like, I can't believe she embarrassed us like this.
It's unbelievable. Even CNN can't spin this one.
What?
Here's the problem. Many Americans see a disconnect between what the president focuses on and what they are most worried about. 42% of Americans say, yes, the president has the right priorities. But look at this number. Okay. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans think the president is not spending enough time on the issues that they believe are most important to the country.
Oh.
Well, that's because they're not. Case in point is energy.
Uh-oh.
I paid $108.
Now, guys, as we close, Rob Smith is going to take us from theory to practice. Real life applications of what this administration has caused. Not rhetoric, not stuff about racism and xenophobia. Listen to this as we close.
For a tank of gas on Sunday.
How much did you pay?
And that was not in.
How much did you pay?
Americans think the president is not spending enough time on the issues that they believe are most important to the country. Well, that's because they're not. Case in point is energy. I paid $108 for a tank of gas on Sunday.
What?
And that was not in a big city. That was 80 miles from a big city.
Now, that's enough to $108. Make change my vote.
You're feeling it. I'm feeling it. We're all feeling it.
Wouldn't you like
now, to be fair, energy prices rise and fall. They've been high under Republicans. Yeah. But what's really pissing people off about this bout is that it's arbitrary.
Oh.
The party in power is forcing you to spend more money on gas and to heat your house and everything else because it needs to appease environmentalists. This isn't coming from somewhere else.
Oh.
This is all happening because the White House is making it happen.
So this is not a natural occurrence? That's what you're telling me, Rob? You telling me these dummies that went and voted for Biden, voted for them to come in and destroy their livelihood, raise prices, open up our border, leave our military over there, have them get killed, and leave our American citizens over. They paid for this. They voted for this, too. These are self-inflicted wounds.
And that's why you're poorer. Drilling restrictions, Keystone XL, and now the White House looking to inflict even more pain.
What?
And all eyes now are on Michigan.
God.
The Biden administration reportedly considering shutting down an oil pipeline that runs through Michigan from Canada. Politico reporting the Biden administration going into a so-called deep dive and studying the potential market impact of killing the Line 5 pipeline. The 68-year-old pipeline moves about 540,000 barrels of petroleum and crude oil from Alberta, Canada, through Ontario, through Wisconsin, Great Lakes, and Michigan. I'm not a weatherman. I'm not good at this stuff, but, you know, it kind of goes like this.
What else, Rob?
The White House, the move by the White House, I should say, happening after Canada invoked a 1977 treaty a month ago that would keep the pipeline running.
So
yes, super liberal Canada
what?
has more conservative energy policy than the United States.
You've got to be kidding.
Trudeau, huge leftist, already upset over the Keystone XL move that Biden made right after he got into the White House.
This got to be on purpose, y'all. Every smart decision is being avoided. Why are we doing this? So we already struggling with our oil, our natural resources. Russia's booming again, and now he's tampering with the other pipeline, and that will impact Canada too. Oh, I forgot. They're trying to destroy the nation so we can build back better again, right? My bad.
He's going to blow a gasket over this one if it happens. Mm. Yes, we are now too liberal for this
Canada.
Guy.
Wow.
That's impressive. Michigan's governor, Gretchen Whitmer, is another panderer. She'll do anything to get elected. She has no real policy.
Just like
she has campaigned on revoking that Canadian treaty in an effort to appease environmental groups who, truthfully, may be the only people that are voting for Democrats in upcoming elections.
Don't.
You know the little, like, 1.3% vote that the Green Party gets in every election and you just kind of laugh about it?
Yeah.
If Biden keeps it up, that's going to be his party in 2024 because nobody else is going to identify with any kind of Democrat policy.
Because they're crazy.
Today, the deputy press secretary tried to spin the White House's latest assault on energy.
Chocolate drop.
Andrew Walton.
Here she is.
The administration studying the impact of shutting down the land pipe.
Yes, so. We are. That
inaccurate.
Well, I thought you were saying that we were going to shut it down, but that is not inaccurate. Okay, great. The Army Corps of Engineers is preparing an environmental impact to look through this.
And, you know, it's too bad that none of these pipelines provide oil to Germany from Russia. Because then they'd be fine. Then the White House could, like, show up for the ribbon-cutting ceremony and, you know, celebrate it, pop
they
champagne.
They like
more than a dozen lawmakers from the Midwest warning the president in a letter writing, should this pipeline be shut down, tens of thousands of jobs will be lost across Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and the region.
Do you think Biden cares about that? Tens of thousands of jobs of Americans? This man just got on TV and was like, yeah, these police officers and people should be fired if they don't get the mops. This is the same guy that left American citizens over there to get killed. Didn't even go in hard on the fact that some of our own soldiers got blew up out there checking his own watch. This that same guy. This the same guy that as soon as he got in office, killed jobs. This guy, do you think just going one step further and destroying all of these other jobs with this pipeline, you think that man cares about it? First of all, he probably has no idea what he's signing. And if he did, he would probably still make the same choice.
Termination of Line 5 will reportedly further exacerbate shortages and price increases in home heating fuels like natural gas and propane at a time when Americans are already facing rapidly rising energy prices, steep home heating costs, global supply shortages, and skyrocketing gas prices.
Cause and effect. Cause and effect. Mr. President, you realize if you put a mandate out there, we're going to actually lose more police. We're going to lose military people. We're going to lose first responders, all of that stuff in the middle of a so-called pandemic, right? I don't care. Do it. Mr. President, you do realize if you pull all of our troops out right now and leave all the weapons and don't warn any of our citizens that come on home and give up our airspace, all of that stuff, you do realize that folks are going to get stuck over there, right, Mr. President? I don't care. Do it. Mr. President, you know, if you come in and you get hired, stuck in there, and you shut down the Keystone Pipeline, that Russia is going to jump up and start making all that money. We're going to be stuck with inflation and gas prices. I don't care. Do it. That's the dumbness we're dealing with, man. I remember when we lost our minds. Let's continue.
But again, do these people care?
No.
Do they care about lost jobs? Not really. They'll just put you on the dole. That's why they're making it so easy to live without a job in this country. Do they care how much your heating costs? They clearly don't. Environmental expert Jason Hayes predicts if Line 5 were shut down, the Midwest would experience a similar situation to what happened in Texas last winter.
Y'all better stop.
During a winter storm. Can you imagine if that was self-inflicted?